Welcome to the West Harlem Way Race Podcasts. I'm John Kinnaston, and this is episode 48. Welcome to this episode of the West Harlem Way Race Podcasts. This is basically part two of the interview that I did with Marco and Debs, which was started on episode 47. And basically, we thought it'd be a better idea to put these out as two separate podcasts, around about an hour each, because I think for a lot of people, an hour is about long enough for the run that you're on or been able to listen to it. So we thought that was probably the better idea. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the second part. If you've not caught the first part yet, then do listen to episode 47. But from this one, basically, we look at the rest of their year from the Lakeland 100 race onwards, which includes Marco's two-team 24-hour race. And then there was lots of questions on Facebook that they answered. So that covers this second podcast. So I hope you enjoy this second part of the interview that I did with Marco and Debs on Sunday, the 6th of October, 2013. Okay, part two. We've had a nice meal. Do you enjoy your meal?
Oh, John, I don't know how you can stay so spelt with a wife that cooks like that.
Fantastic, thank you, Kitchener.
That was amazing. Yeah.
So all three of us are sitting a few degrees further back up.
You'll be glad to know there was no wine involved, so we're okay.
Okay, so we left it with Marco having a crack in West Harlem Way and finishing in second place in his 16 hours and 3 minutes and 48 seconds. So that was well done. And then we move on now to July, so a month later. And Debs, you've had to change your focus. So the first half, your focus has been running for 24 hours right into the World Championship. So what did you do between that one in May and then getting ready for the Lakeland 100 race, which is obviously very different?
Yeah, well, after I did the 24 hour race in 2012 in September, the same weekend I'd signed up for the Lakeland 100. So I knew that navigation is not my strongest, but what are you laughing for?
I was just thinking some Dave Troman's comments.
And so I knew that I'd have to go down and recce the course. So once I came back last year, September, we did our first recce run in November because Sharon had signed up for the race as well. So up until May this year, I'd basically done like one monthly long run in the lakes. And then as soon as I finished the 24 hour race in May, it was just complete shift. And I did, I went down, went over the course again, and just basically focused everything into running off road and trails. Like yourself, I was up and down Ben Lomond more times than not, OCD. Yeah. So yeah, basically just running up and down hills. Yeah. So it was actually really nice. It was really nice to finish the 24 hour, kind of box that and move on to do something different. So I had endurance in my legs, it was just getting hill fit. So, yeah. And the more hills I ran, the more confidence I got, and because I just seemed to be running stronger and stronger, so.
Yeah. Well, I was, as you know, I was down this year too as a marshal, and I found it really interesting seeing you just about a few hours before the race, and you were definitely, I felt, really well prepared and focused on that race. And you did have a particular split, didn't you, that you were working towards you hoped for?
Yeah, I think when I first started doing the recce runs, I just thought I was totally out of my depth. I found just the whole navigation and the route was...
And you had some bad weather, didn't you?
We had awful weather, and it just seemed to take us forever to cover any distance. And when I started just sort of rehashing them, that's when I got a bit more confident, because I always find, like, once I've done a route, I'm quite good at remembering it. So I didn't feel like I'd have to go down and have to sit with a road book and stuff like that, which I didn't have to in the race. So when I started rehashing it and then doing all my sort of Ben Lomond hill reps and getting stronger and stronger, I kind of got a bit more confident. Whereas initially I thought if I could just finish the race, then I'd be happy. And then I kind of thought, well, if I can get somewhere in around about 30 hours, I'd be happy with that. And then I thought the stronger I got, I thought I could probably get somewhere near 28. So.
Yeah, and that was the ladies' record at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, the ladies' record was at 28 and a half.
Yeah.
And then yeah, my training got better and better, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for 26.
Yeah.
And I believed I could get 26. I was quite confident that I could, because I did feel really strong going into the race. And I followed Dave Trowman's splits, not because I wanted to beat Dave, but I trusted Dave's pacing. So I had no idea, other than the recce runs that I'd done, you know, how long it was going to take me from section to section. So I just kind of trusted Dave's pacing, so I went with that.
Yeah, and you ended up finishing in 26 hours and 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Dead.
Yeah.
And second lady, and 13th overall. And I think anyone has done that race, they know what a great performance that is, because this year 274 started or something, 124 finished. So I think anyone who finishes that race has done well. So to run that fast,
yeah,
was a great performance.
I actually had a really good race. I felt really, really strong.
Yeah.
I had one kind of wobbly bit in the middle. I think that was just down to dehydration, because it was really quite muggy and hot on the day.
Is that when you ran into a tree?
Yeah, that's when I ran into a tree. And so when you go through the night, and it was really humid during the night. I mean, it was people I were running with were literally dripping sweat all over the trail. And then to go into a full day of sunshine. I had a bit of a... I just felt so thirsty. I've never drank so much in a race in all my life. Just constantly thirsty. So other than the wobbly bit where I went into a checkpoint and the guy gave me an equivalent of like 2 pints of Coke. And I was fine after that.
Yeah. But in the sense of the routes, was there any problems navigation-wise?
No, I was fine on the day.
No problems at
all?
Well,
I had a bit of a... during the night, and I kind of tagged on to some other guys that were there. I'd only done that section once, from Buttermere to Braithwaite.
Yeah.
And during and daylight, I felt really, really confident. But then when you're hit with the darkness, you could be anywhere. So I kind of tagged on the back of a couple of guys there.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing you just outside Trapbeck, because I had a few hours off from my marshalling duties, and I ran back from my mill side and waited and saw the first sort of 15 through, and I thought you looked as strong as anybody that I saw on that 15 coming through. You know, the bit I saw you, you were just in a good place and running really strongly.
Yeah.
So you had a good strong finish.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I felt from Ambleside to Coniston, I probably could have run stronger there. I was having serious problems with my back, blood chafing in my back.
Yeah.
My back was just red.
Was that the rucksack banging?
Yeah, I think with a wet t-shirt the whole time.
Right.
Because you know what it's like. Anyone who's listening to this will know that when you're wearing a rucksack, your t-shirt just gets soaking.
Yeah.
And I think just having that wet, salty t-shirt on for the whole duration, I never changed it.
Mm.
And then with the rubbing of the rucksack.
Yeah.
So my back was red raw. So I was trying to run whilst holding my... John saw my back on the day.
Yeah. For the podcast, Marco's just showed me a picture of Debs's back, and it's
yellow.
It does. It looks so, so sore.
Because I remember when I finished and I said to John, would you have a look at my back?
Yeah.
And you were like, the best thing was the next morning when I woke up, my t-shirt had stuck to it.
Oh.
And I screamed the place down, trying to get off. So I was trying to run the last section whilst holding my rucksack away from my back.
Yeah.
So, but no, I had a great race.
Yeah.
It was a great race. I have lots of fond memories of my day in the lakes.
Yeah. No, you did. That's a superb run. And that was a strange one for you, wasn't it, Marco? Because you were there.
Sport was hard work. I played the Xbox. I watched films.
Yeah.
Then I got a call from Sharon in the middle of the night saying she dropped out. But yeah, it was a strange one because you'd actually sort more than I did.
Mm.
And I didn't really hear or have anything involvement in that race, even at the end. It was a strange one, yeah.
But the splits were good, weren't they? Because the website was updated.
Yeah, no.
You could keep up to date.
And it was funny because I also had the same as what you thought. I knew Debbie was going to have a good race. She was so confident, and I trained a couple of times in Ben Lomond with you, and you could even see the difference from the first time we went up together to the third time or something.
Yeah.
What if I went up three times with you? You know, you were confident going down the hills. The first time you were like, and then by the third time you were much more confident. So I was not worried at all.
Yeah.
Well, maybe more about the navigation, because I'd been getting calls throughout the winter of every time you went lost. And I've probably only heard half of it.
No, well, you know yourself, John, they have those organised recce weekends where you can go along and they show you the route. And that's great. I think it's a fabulous idea and it's good to get to know that people are doing the race. But I personally, I had to go out on the course by myself and make all those mistakes.
Yeah.
Because if I went along to those recce weekends, yeah, it'd be lovely. I wouldn't have spent £100 in a taxi once from to Coniston. But if I'd have went on those recce weekends, I would have just been chatting, just following the person in front, and I wouldn't have learned anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I didn't have the navigational issues on the day, because I'd made all the mistakes in the training months.
But I think your point about getting your quads ready for the downhills, because I remember last year when Dave Trollman and myself did the recce runs, and then Dave spent a lot of time running them down Skiddle, because his theory was, if you want to do well in this race, you need to be able to run the downhills on the second half. And if your quads are not prepared for that, then if you're having to walk the downhills, that's when you're wasting time, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. So there's so many people, even today, like when I was doing the Glencoe Marathon today, like you know, people were saying to me, like, your downhill running is really, really good, and you just think, because I've really focused on it this year, but there's a lot of people today sort of tittering around the hills, and I think just coming from that Lakeland training where I did go up Ben Lomond and come down Tarnagan, which is not the, it's frightening at some pits coming down, and let's be honest, I'm quite famous for my spectacular stunts. I think definitely thrashing your quads and really training your quads was really important. It was on the day, I think towards the end, it was my glutes that were sore, but as soon as I got over the other side and got everything going again, I was fine.
And you had the great advantage, you finished in the light and the dry, because I was helping through the night and then on from 5 a.m. with the people finishing, and the folks who were taking over 30 hours and over 35 hours, they had a horrendous time, because the first night they'd had that glorious, humid weather, probably too warm, and then through the day, and then the second night it was just terrific.
Well, I was lying in the tent listening to that rain, and I, as you say, to have that really high humidity during the night where you sweat so much, and then a full day of blazing heat, and then that, it was just like,
that's right,
that was, I mean, for
it's
anyone
extremes,
who went through
it?
That is amazing.
Because I was on from 5 a.m, so I saw the last sort of folks here up till the 40 hours, and you could see just the look on people's faces having finished, anyone who finished at that stage had done amazingly
well. I had my usual post-race insomnia where I kind of woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to sit in the cafe and watch people coming through, and you're just sitting there, it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so congratulations on that one.
Thanks.
That was another superb run. And then the focus changes back to Marco and your 24-hour race in Tooting. So tell us a little bit about why you did that one and what your thinking was. Because at the beginning you said that you weren't sure if this year was going to be the year you did a 24, but obviously it was. So what was the key factor in deciding this year?
The West Ham Way.
Yeah.
You know, to finally get nearly 100-mile run, but feel good at the end. You know, it's not like at the end of the West Ham Way I could have done more, but it gave me the confidence to say, perhaps this is the year to try this. Plus, I had 6 months free, the whole second half of the year. I had nothing planned. The West Ham Way was my main race. But once I finished it and had a good time and I'd felt so good, I thought, well, recovery is not going to be more than a few weeks. And then I came straight back in. I think it was it 12 weeks between both races? And I just thought, this is enough time. And I'd been thinking about, ever since Debbie had got into the 24-hour team for Scotland to start with, and then getting picked for GB, I've people ask us, what motivates you? That motivates me to want to try and do that. And I think to this day, Debbie hadn't gotten the Scotland team, I'd never gotten the Scotland team, because I had no motivation to do it. But then you get that motivation, and I finally thought, what the heck, I'm going to try. And Debbie did say, why don't you try? And to be honest, I thought, a track race? Yeah, I don't, how can you go from the West Ham Way to a track race? And actually, I never once on that day thought, this is boring. It was a great race, it was fun.
So in between the West Island Way and the 24, did you do any off-road running, or did you just concentrate on flatter running?
Actually, I did, yes. What I did was, so I did my normal kind of recovery, which is, I don't agree with any with running a week after ultra. It's completely off. I go and I eat, you know, differently. I eat, you know, sweets and, you know, anything you want. You know, you have a week off from your strict diet and stuff like that.
You have a strict diet?
Strict diet, yeah, lots of food.
You have a strict diet at home and then you go in and the girls in the office feed you muffins.
Yeah, well, strictish. So, anyway, my strict diet, I get to eat two muffins instead of one. So anyway, what were we talking about?
Oh,
stop
yeah,
interrupting. Yeah, so then I just take it easy. I'll do 2 miles and then take a day off to do 4 miles. And I just slowly increase it. And once I get to be able to run 8 miles in a day without any issues, I'll then get back to normal training. And in between West Ham Way and the 24 hour, my first big long run was I ran from Falkirk back to Glasgow, which was actually the same weekend as your Lakeland 100 race, because I got injured and I had no one to pick me up and had to walk 10 miles with an injured.
Oh yeah, I remember you just kept sending me snotty texts about why I wasn't replying to you.
Yeah, I was greeting.
Preparing for race, back
across. I was walking from Kirkintilloch to Glasgow on the canal, feeling really sorry for myself, but I couldn't stop because I had to go and pick Kieran up from the nursery and I had a deadline. I was like, trying to go as fast as I could. So so that was another week that was, you know, wrecked.
Stop
fishing. But then after that, training went fine. So I did mostly back-to-back runs.
Yeah, and obviously, I would imagine the vast majority of listening to this will have followed your progress over that weekend. It was amazing.
Thanks
being
to
able
you,
to,
John.
So, thanks
to
me.
You.
But it was great. And you finished off with 254.1 miles, which is just
254.
Oh, sorry, 154. Oh, sorry, I'm wrong figure. Yeah, 154.1 miles, which is absolutely incredible, and that puts you third on the all-time list of Scottish men, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that was just amazing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Did it feel pretty good right from the start? Do you know you were on for a good run?
Do you know, I never thought I'm on for a good run. I went to the run.
You never thought otherwise?
I didn't.
I don't mean that in a snidey way, but mentally, you'd already done it before you even got there.
Yeah. It's strange. I think the races this year have given me confidence where else I would have doubted myself. But this time, I remember the week of the race, I don't know anything about 24 hour. I've supported it, but the numbers don't make sense to me.
Mm.
Plus, the other thing is that half the time people are talking kilometres and half the time it's in miles. So I really didn't have a clue. So I wrote out these splits and took them to Adrian. And I think it was 164 miles I wanted to do. And Adrian just looked at it and went, "You know that hasn't been done in 25 years by anyone from the UK." So I totally rubbed them out and I took some miles off it. But all of a sudden I was going from, I thought I was going to be doing 28 laps an hour to 27 laps an hour. And what a difference, you know, it felt easier. And the whole start of that run, first 12 hours was just, it was like a little training run, an easy training run. It felt good. The whole race felt good. I think I had that many wobblies.
No. You had one bit where you looked really angry.
Well,
yeah,
you said that. Was that not because I was walking?
I had your angry face on.
Yeah? Oh, I don't know. Maybe someone worked in the rain.
But I've heard a few comments from people saying, you know, you were just so smooth. You know, the people you were lapping, and you seemed to be really under control for most of the day. So.
Yeah, and again, it just seems to be that it's different from previous races where you get tired as the race goes on. I seem to be able to keep going for longer.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it's food or something, attitude, something's different where it doesn't feel an effort as much. It feels just natural to keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that in the West Ham Way this year. Has just been so enjoyable. I couldn't look back at them and think, God, there was this bit that was horrible. Yeah. I remember Ian Beattie said you went through three tough parts in a race. I can't name three tough parts. Maybe there was some way when I had a sore leg at the beginning, but I took painkillers and it was fine. But I can't actually name anywhere.
Yeah.
They just, but I learnt so much from following the girls in the 24 hour team, and it was try and be happy, try and enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, like I've said before, there's something wrong in the race. So, you know, I definitely have learnt to try and enjoy races more. That they shouldn't be hard.
Mm.
You know, it's not like when you were road running and you were doing a half marathon, that's hard from the start to finish.
Well, in the same way that I remember when I chatted with you before the Lakeland, we had a few texts a few days before, and I just thought, you're ready for this. You know, you could see that you were. And there was only one text when you started to doubt yourself, when Adrian had said, can you really go for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that text back saying, you know yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you don't need to have any negative thoughts, really. If you think you can do it, then go for it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also happy because I think my revised thing was for 156 miles.
Right.
And so I got 154, which to me is pretty close.
It is, yeah.
You
never put a figure on it on the text, but I assumed 150 would be what you'd be after. So when you were past that, I thought you'd probably exceeded what you wanted.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of strange because I didn't break the run up. Although I'd written that down in my splits, I never then thought about it again. I split everything up into hours, 4 hours, and 8 hours. So everything had a time value.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to do this many laps in 1 hour, and I had to do this many laps. And then in 4 hours, I got changed direction.
Yeah.
So I had that.
We're all kicked off then.
There's one way that's faster than the other.
How does that work, actually? I've never quite understood this. You know, so you're halfway round.
You have to finish that lap.
So for a lap or so, some people are going one way and some are going the other.
It's the only time you get to see people's faces.
Yeah.
Every other time you see the backs.
I've never quite understood how it works. So
no,
that's
I didn't
the way,
either until
yeah.
I got there. And
they put a cone.
It's easy enough to do.
Just at the lap, the person with the lap counters are, they put a cone and you just run around that cup. So they count that lap.
Lap.
Yeah.
And then that's you onto the...
Right.
So
you
see...
You have to do a full lap.
Yeah. So,
no,
and then I split it also into 8 hours. And 8 hours was round about when I slightly tried to change food a little bit.
Mm.
So at the beginning I was more chicken. And then in the middle was... whatever, caramel shortcake, and the end was maybe Coke or something, slowly getting more sugar. But I broke into time, so when Adrian told me, you've done 150 miles, I was, what? You know, and when they said, you've got the qualification, which was great, because I got to fly a flag and run around the thing, it was a surprise. And I think then I thought, well, you're going to do this, this is one thing that you've,
You were just working on laps,
mm-hmm.
not really thinking about the distance.
Yeah, I just had my Garmin. The Garmin is totally inaccurate
on
a looped course. So I'd done a practice run in Scotstoun and I did 17 miles. And it was more to get the pacing for a lap, right, because it is so slow to start with. And I was going round and I noticed that I'd calculated it was going to be 17 miles or something and how many laps that would be. And my Garmin said like 19. So it was like 2 miles out just with that amount of laps.
Yes.
But what I did was I decided I would just lap the Garmin every single time. Daniel.
660 times.
Doesn't he sleep now? The thing is that when you went round, there was a lap counters, people, you had to wave to them every time anyway, because you want to make
so
sure.
So you waved
it's
and
just
and
a
stopped
mutual
it.
Acknowledgement
so all I did was, lap, hello, lap.
Yeah.
You know, so it was. I didn't miss a single lap on my Garmin.
Riveting read, isn't
it? Yeah,
I know.
He's going to send you the Garmin command.
Yeah.
Wait till the pie chart.
You want to see every time when it's on the computer, because there's six. Well, there's 400 and something in one, and the other Garmin's 100 and, or 200 and something.
Yeah.
It crashes the computer every time because it can't. There's too many laps.
Yeah.
It just goes. It sits there for ages and ages while it's trying to display the laps. But yeah. It was, there's so many other things in the lap circuit you need to look at, which was, you're pressing your lap button and then you want this pace to one side of the track and then to the other, that you've always got something in your mind, you're always thinking of things, that it's not that boring as it sounds. Although I asked, Richie was being sick from the beginning and I can't believe he finished it, he dug in and he did fantastic. you know.
What is that? I felt like it was a quiz time.
Was that not as a quiz?
I've never got the Countdown Conundrum, I'm sorry.
So what about from your perspective, Debs? How did you feel that the race went?
Really well. Like you said, everyone has said that Marco ran with he really did. He was just like a steam train just going around that course. He did tell me before the race that support was as much harder than running, which I can guess probably confirm that it's really, really not. For years, it's always much harder, much harder.
You can see, you know, as I'm supporting you and your hard work. And
that is totally untrue. That's so untrue. No, I actually had a great time. I really, really enjoyed it. The hours just set past.
24-hour support. Yeah, we had, you've got the same amount, the same people with you the whole time, and you get a laugh rather than, you meet some support and then you're running off.
Remember, this is my question.
What?
Remember? Remember me?
She has been drinking wine, by the way.
So there was a really good group of people that I was with, and not even that. It wasn't just like I was supporting Marco. You know, there's 45 people starting the race, and I made it my mission to find out everybody's name.
Nice.
And so you just kind of like got the group we were with. We were really there, sort of cheering everyone up, cheering everyone on. And so I had a ball, an absolute ball. It was great.
And you were awake the whole time, were you?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I didn't even feel sleepy, tired at all. I think.
When you got things
there,
to do, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, when you're there, and that's it. That's what you've got to do. Yeah.
She was seeing me every 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
Yes.
So. Hi there. No, don't need a gel this week. Maybe
66. No, so it was. I actually really enjoyed it. I had such a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a good group of people that were there supporting, and we had such a laugh. Really good time. So I really enjoyed it.
Good. Well, I think as I said at the beginning, I think 2013 has been an exceptional year for both of you, hasn't it? You know, you I don't think your races could have gone much better, could they? Any of the races you've done.
No,
so.
Yeah, it's been a good year. It's been a good year.
I couldn't have thought I could have dreamed about a year like this, to be honest. It's just every race is going.
So I think if you'd done one of those things, say you just did the 24-hour and then your Lakeland hadn't gone so well, that would have still been a good year. But to do both of them, and then I think for you, Marco, having done a great West Harlem Way and then backed it up with a superb 24, it's just, you know.
I couldn't, you know, I remember you said at the West Harlem Way, that's the best race you've ever had. And I was, you know, and then to then go and do the 24 hour, which I think is an even better race than that one.
Yeah.
I don't even, you know, it's actually shocked me afterwards, people's reaction to it, because everyone says, you did how many, you know, and to me, I still don't see it in that. But I couldn't have believed I could have done that this year.
No, superb. Just puts the pressure on for next year, though.
I know.
We should just go on holiday.
No. We've got some questions that I put on Facebook, so I don't know if we'll get through them all, but we'll try some of them. Ian Wallace says, if you're both picked for Team GB World Champs next year, who's going to do the support?
Did Kieran not tell you?
You've been training.
He's coming to Uncle John and Auntie Katrina's for the weekend.
Oh, we'll have him, But who's going to support you?
Probably Thomas and Silke.
Right.
Told them yet.
AKA the crazy Germans. We're kind of hoping they will. We prepped them in for it.
Pre-prepped,
so,
That'd be brilliant.
Well, it depends on the timing, but hopefully those two.
Okay. Richard Darrock says, would love to know how they get a balance between training, work and family. And would be great to see the training schedules as well. If someone else has to see your training schedules. That one about the balance, how does that work as a family?
This is the most we've seen each other.
I think, you know, people always ask me, you know, how do you find the time? I always say I don't find the time, I make the time.
Yeah.
And I've always said, I mean, you're probably sick of hearing me saying this, but because we both do ultra running, it's actually easier because it's not as if, you know, there's any sort of friction.
If I have a strop because you're running, you'll just have a strop back at me.
Exactly. But we do try to fit it in. Like, I run to and from work. You do a lot of running to and from work, running at lunchtime. So we're mostly in most evenings.
We don't run at evening time mostly. They might be the one off, but so we see each other in the evenings.
And then at the weekend, you know, we've got a great support network. Both our mums are fantastic. But we do, that's probably every other few weekends. So like on a Saturday morning, I'll run with Sharon, and you'll run with one of the guys in the afternoon, and then it kind of takes it that I take Saturdays and you take Sundays, and then
yeah, that way. So if you pick a run, if Debbie's going to do a run on a Saturday, I have to make sure that I'm going to do it in the afternoon. If she wants to do the morning, she gets to pick, and the same on Sunday. So. Yeah.
But this year it's been easier because we haven't had any conflicting races, so it's actually worked out. Because as I said before, Marco is either recovering or tapering when I'm at my peak from my race, and vice versa. So next year will be interesting.
Yeah. But again,
you may not make the team.
Yeah. But again, you'll work it out, won't you? Because you want to. You know, and where there's a will, there is a way, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You can't. And I do think, just watching you, I think that sense of supporting each other as well, so that you want the best for each other, don't you? So you're prepared to compromise sometimes to help each other.
Yeah, but we've never gone head to head, John.
No.
Can we, like, trainers at dawn?
Speaking your food.
Yeah. Amanda Hamilton says, she wants to, how do you cope with being so awesome?
Or no,
No, seriously, how do you feel over the last year? People see you differently?
No.
No, do you think? No.
I don't think so.
Well, you've been awesome for years.
No, I don't think so. I don't think people see you differently, do they? No.
I don't know. I've never been in that situation.
It's been nice that people, rather than say, you might do okay at the West Island Way, to have people say, well, you did.
Yeah.
It feels a bit better. Because I always... It felt horrible thinking, could I actually? I was starting to doubt myself. I think that's different. I was more doubtful but nowadays.
I do think for you, Marco, this has been a real breakthrough year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the sense that you have fulfilled your potential.
Well.
Or are fulfilling it.
Yeah.
No, don't you think?
I don't know. I did doubt I ever had, especially when your training partner, like Thomas and Matt, were doing so well, and, you know, your wife and Sharon were doing so well, you start to think, Jesus, I'm the odd one out here, you know, and things like that. But I don't like to think anyone would think of us different.
Do think there's more pressure now, there really is, because you can't just go into a race and blend.
Yeah.
But as I said to you before, you know, pressure is a privilege, and so you just kind of suck it up.
Yeah.
I do find, like, well, you know, like years when we used to run together in races, that I am quite renowned for my pacing ability, and I'd turn around and be like 10 people behind me.
I was the complete opposite. My pacing was rubbish.
So, but no, yeah, I think you go into races and people are, you know, kind of targeting. Like, last year or this year, you know, when you're reading people's blog reports who are in the same race as you, and you don't realise how much your race impinges on them. Like, people say, I want you to stay ahead of her or behind her, and you didn't realise at the time.
No, that's good. Mark Caldwell wants to know, who eats the most?
Marco.
And is there ever a fight over the last fridgey shake? Cairn, Debs or Marco?
Cairn would win every time.
Cairn would win hands down.
He loves the...
Yeah, flavoured milk. Marco, there's a fat man screaming to get out of Marco, you just don't know inside that skinny physique. Yeah, the Kinsanis are blessed with an amazing metabolism, which I don't have.
Alexia Melling says, which races have they not competed in but would like to do?
Oh, I've got a full list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got your bucket list
on
your blog.
Yeah, I've got a bucket list, I keep adding to.
Right.
I think if I could choose a race to do, I would either do UTMB or Spartathlon.
UTMB. I'd love to do UTMB.
Yeah,
but again, it'd be one I'd want to be prepared for. So you would need to do... Yeah, there would need to be so many races I'd like to do before.
Yeah.
You know, to get into that way. I wouldn't like to go there. And
I would like to do some races in America as well.
Bad water?
No, not bad water. You imagine me?
Oh, no.
Anything over 14 degrees.
Right.
And I've been melting in the pavement.
I'd like a warm race. I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
didn't
you need to get some...
What?
Okay, we've got a whole series of questions from Sandra.
Okay, wow.
What drove Debs to go from your average ultra runner to the superwoman she is now?
Hard work,
yeah.
I don't believe in natural talent.
Okay.
Hard work.
You've worked hard. And how important is speed training to get schedule for ultras?
Very important.
Yeah.
You need to work from the base up.
Yeah.
You, if you didn't do speed work, you'll just get slower no matter what distance you're
and
doing.
And you get bored.
Bored?
Yeah, you don't mix it up a bit.
Okay, one for Marco. Was it seeing Debs get Scotland then GB vest that spurred you on to the magnificent run at Tooting?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
that.
Definitely, yeah.
And how, when do you both manage to fit in the training and full-time work and juggle school? Again,
we've talked about that.
What's your average weekly mileage?
My base is around about 70, 80. I could probably go up to about 120.
Yeah.
For about 5 weeks or 6 weeks before the 24 hours, probably around about 100. So 6 weeks, about 100 miles.
Okay. And he says, lastly but not leastly, that's a new word, massive congratulations, you're both my heroes.
Thank you,
Sandra. Dave Waterman, what is your favourite film?
Science fiction. We are both complete opposites. You like rubbish rom-com and I like science fiction.
Yeah.
Okay.
We always cinema much together.
Do you have the same taste in music?
No.
This is garbage.
Debbie's, but you want to kill yourself, slit
it's
your
like
wrist,
noise.
Crap.
It's like noise.
Okay, we'll take that as a no. What food do you like to indulge in together?
Chicken and broccoli.
No, we like Viva Brazil.
Oh, right, Together Viva.
Together.
Yeah.
Viva Brazil.
It's a restaurant in Glasgow.
Which we like, it's like just meat. Which we use, we go on a long run in the morning
massive
and go there and after. It's just a protein. And it's not for vegetarians.
Okay. Susan Harley. Wants to know, how do you prevent injury running so many miles per week?
I run properly.
Well done to Debbie and Marco.
It's
you run properly.
I've worked on my form.
Okay.
That's helped, I've worked on that as well. But also, don't go and do something stupid. Don't think that I'm doing 8 miles and then all of a sudden think it's a good idea to do 30. So everything's slowly, you know, I do back-to-backs, but I don't go right up to 30-30 or something. You start off at 15-15. 18-18, it's just slowly. It's common sense.
Yeah.
I think it's all down to your running form.
Yeah.
But I also think
I think there's for people to assume that there's no right or wrong way to run, I don't agree with that. I think there is a correct way of running the way there is a correct way to play tennis and snooker and golf. I think there has to be a form that you have to.
Is that why you keep laughing at me?
No, your form's so much better. We used to heel strike all the time. But
no,
I think having the correct form and holding yourself the way you should do when you run.
Definitely.
And my power plate. I love my power plate.
Right.
And listen to your body.
I need protein.
Yeah. Okay, number of things there, that's good. Billy Minto, who wears the trousers in your house?
What?
Who wears the trousers?
I was meaning what, Tara?
Yeah, I know. So I think the answer is
there's a mutual respect.
What?
Oh, God, I can't believe I choked saying that.
Listen, mate,
yeah, probably
what
care.
What really is, if you make her think she wears a trousers, it's an easy life.
Okay.
Reverse psychology.
Sure.
Okay, Amanda Hamilton, what is their must-have kit or food for an ultra?
Salmon shorts. I love my salmon shorts.
They're absolutely expensive enough.
Yeah, I know. I've got two pairs now.
Can I just say I bought them both?
Oh, my salmon rucksack. My
Garmin.
Your
Garmin? Yeah,
really?
My Garmin.
And
yeah,
your Coke?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I like running with my Garmin. I freak out if I don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a funny one here from Crawford Brown. I'm quite sure this
yeah,
is the wrong play. Yeah, well,
is that a Monopoly one?
Yeah, play Monopoly, yeah. A man, is pushing his car, stops at a hotel, pays the bill, and starts pushing the car again. What's he doing?
Playing Monopoly.
So
yeah.
I'm not quite
sure.
Someone
answered it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why that's on this block anyway. Stuart McFarlane, he says, why do you run? How do you get into ultras? What motivates you? We've covered those things in the other podcast, I think. But he does say, what are your running ambitions? And is there any particular runner that inspires you?
I think I'm inspired by people around about me, the people that I run and train with, and the people on my team and stuff like that. They're the people that inspire me.
Yeah.
Debbie inspired me.
Right.
That's my brain points again. No, seriously.
Yeah, but I still wear the trousers in the house, yeah.
I think if she hadn't done, if she hadn't done the Scotland and the GB, we've covered this, I would never have done it. So it inspired me to do better. Plus the ribbon I'd get from it.
This is an interesting one, Ross Lang. He says, If, as with most people, family comes first, and one of you had to give up running, then who would offer first?
Debbie.
And who would be the most sincere?
That is, I know it's a really ridiculous question.
Yeah.
Because, no offense.
Can't say that.
No, it totally is, because if one of us had to give up running, it would either be through choice,
but it's
injury.
It's a theoretical question. That imagine someone put a gun to someone's head and said, one of you must do it. That's what the question's about. But you couldn't answer it then.
Depends on the situation.
Okay, we'll leave that one. I think
we're struggling with
the question. I think they're trying to get across the idea of, I don't know, who's the most.
Running's such an integrated
day,
part of my life.
I love running, and it is a huge part of my life. But it's a hobby.
Yeah.
It doesn't pay my bills.
No.
It doesn't.
It's not
the most important.
It's not life
important.
And death, is
exactly,
it?
Yeah. It's
okay.
A hobby.
Yeah. David Martin, what does Marco think is his strong point? Where does he think he can make up the time and extend his lead on other runners? The uphills, the downhills, or the flat?
I always think of the flat because I have a basic good speed that you find that a lot of the ultra runners maybe don't have. So I've always done that, but this year I have worked in my hills. So I'm stronger in the uphill now, which in the West Ham way I really noticed, because I kept up with people that I've never been able to keep up with before on hills. And so the good thing about that is I still have the flat, where even the flat feels much more comfortable now. So, but I still always think to myself, there's a flat section coming up, this is the bit I'll push. And so I would say flat.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't ask you, but what did you do yours?
Anything above 50 miles.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I like them all, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because of the races that I've done, I feel.
But you've not been so strong in downhills, and you've worked on that this year and done better.
Yeah, depends what I'm playing for.
Because you still you go down like a girl.
Okay, John Munro, where are they next racing head to head, and who will win?
The World Championships and me.
I put a bet on with you.
Remember, there's that I'm reading that.
You've got to iron my shirts for a week if I win.
A week.
A month.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Whose PB's better?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Do you know what is interesting, though, is if you do it on their percentage, because that eases,
let's not go there.
That eases things out a bit more.
Does it?
Because I'm still just ahead of Katrina on the on age graded percentage, but it won't be long, I think.
Oh, my Lord. When do we start that?
How did you work that out?
I don't know.
Well, you've got to get to probably over 40. That's where it starts to kick
in. Marco's 40 next year.
Oh, so that's happy birthday.
It's not yet.
You'll see him before next year.
Okay, Kezia Higgins, when is Cairn running his first ultra?
Nah, we want to make him, he's going to be high expectations as a badminton player.
It's not even a sport.
What?
Right.
Definitely.
Well, it's not his first. He did the West Ham.
That's right, yeah. And he's in my novel as the first 100k winner of the Olympics.
I kind of hope that he would take up running.
Yeah,
I
never
think it would
push
become,
him.
I mean, I wouldn't push him.
No.
Yeah, totally would.
Right.
But I think it'll become part of his life as well. It already has, so.
Yeah.
He'll
see it as normal, won't he, to run
exactly.
Long
he does.
Distances.
He goes out and he just runs and runs and runs, and
that's
he just
right.
thinks
that's
what he's
that's
supposed
what he
to
did.
Do.
That's
what
he's doing today,
yeah.
As well, being out supporting. He just knows what to do. He's going high five and good luck, come on, and stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
you can see we pull him to all these races.
Yeah.
So it's part of his life. So, but we would never, if he said to us he wanted to do something else, it's no problem.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast the other week, and it was this guy, he's an American guy. But his 11-year-old daughter is already running quite, you know,
yeah,
distances. And it was lovely because he was saying that her heroine is Emily Forsberg and these people.
Wow,
and she
amazing.
Really wants to be it. And you think, wow, as an 11-year-old girl,
yeah.
Your ambition is to be the best ultra runner. Isn't that brilliant?
I know,
you know, whether she does or not,
yeah.
But the fact that she even knows it exists, you know, it's great, isn't it?
I know,
you do wish
fantastic.
To go back and wish you had that.
Yeah.
Instead of starting and remembering her.
Yeah. Okay, Alan Stewart. Do you see a sub 15-hour West Harlem Way anytime soon?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think Paul Gibman's opened the door of where you thought.
Yeah.
It's like the 4-minute mile.
Yeah.
No one thought it was possible, then it's broken and everyone does it. Not everyone, I can't. You can. But you know what I mean? Someone goes that extra bit and shows you what is possible.
Yeah.
And maybe Paul next year might do 50, sub 15, or Jez might come back, or Terry comes back, or, you know, you don't know what will happen, but someone's bound to have it in their sights.
I think with
now.
Jez's record standing for so long, and everyone just thinking that was going to stand the test of time, and then all of a sudden it's broke twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
It's, I think all ultra races, the records are getting broken every single year with these races, and it's going to keep getting broken because so many people coming into the sport now where it's just seen the norm, and whereas before it was for fat people who can't run very fast, and now it's, you know, it's the amount of people that are coming into ultra running and the improvements, you know, people training properly for this and not going out. And well, you think about it, the women's West Salem way time a few years ago was one in like 24 hours, whereas 24 hours is like an average time now, where it's like,
we also have a community of ultra distance runners now that train together. And so that can only, you only need one of them to do better and everyone else to pull along. So everybody's, you know.
On the world scene as well, you've got people who are, say, 215, 220 marathon runners who know they're not, that's obviously a great time, but it's not going to win anything, is it? Whereas they're moving up to ultra distance now, aren't they, with that sort of speed.
Some of them find it difficult.
Yeah, I know
though,
that, yeah.
Because they've got that speed, they think, you know, it should be faster and stuff, so but yeah, you only need a few of them to get it right, and then all of a sudden,
I think records for ultra distance races are just gonna keep going down.
So, another question then, how far do you think it could go? It can only go so far,
I know, but that's like any record, isn't it? You look at the 100 meters and you think, what Bolt's done now, what's the physical limit? And it's hard to know whether we've reached that yet, isn't it?
And it won't be too far off before there's a sub 2 hour marathon.
Well, this when we went to this thing with Haley on Friday, someone asked him that, and he reckons it's within the next 20 years. He said, if you look at the progression, the way the marathon times come down, someone's going to do it within 20 years, he reckons.
But that's only if the Kenyans keep living their Kenyan way. I've just read that Running with Kenyans.
All right, okay. Yeah.
If they keep their Kenyan way, then the times will keep coming down. If they start westernising it, it's...
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Andy Stevenson here, he says, who are your heroes? We've asked that one a bit. But he says, what do you think about when you have to dig deep? That's a good one. You know, when you're having to, things are a bit tough. What do you tend to think about?
I try to just kind of switch it. I need to try. Yes, darling. I just try to stay positive.
Oh, Karen wants to say hello. You can come and say hello if you want.
Karen!
We just opened the box of chocolates, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what you wanted to have.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want me anymore.
We've bribed him with chocolates.
I do a lot of reading on, as you know, I read all the running books, but I also read like sort of stuff outside the sport, and I read a lot of sort of sports psychology as well. So there's a book that I read called The Chimp Paradox, which the Sky cycling team, they follow all this. And there's a bit in it, like if you've got these negative thoughts in your head, you know, you just say the word change or stop or some sort of trigger to try and change the negative stuff. So I think if your head goes, your head will always go before your legs.
Yeah.
Not reading that book.
But no, I think if my head goes, then I know.
So I
try to sort of stay focused.
I actually, when things are looking down, think there's a reason behind it. So I think it was food or something, so I think when that happens, I think something's wrong, so I'll try different things rather than at the 24 hour I knew something was wrong, but then we'd try soup or try sugars or, and normally that brings me out of it rather than, oh, everything's, I think for me there's a reason behind it, so it's maybe slightly different.
Good. He also says, what is your best run-induced hallucination?
Oh, you've not had any of them?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no.
I've had some magic
have
ones.
I've never actually.
No, it depends how long you go for, the thing is, that's like, when I...
I've been out longer than you.
Oh, that's right, because you've had a few. My first hallucination was my first West Island race, which, as you know, I watched from Tyndrum.
Yeah.
And, it was crazy. I've seen zoo animals. The trees were shaped like zoo animals. There was, like, faces in the path. And then when I did the canal race last year, I was going to ask a fisherman the right directions, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was a tree, so obviously not a fisherman. And then the the red bins that you put the dog waste in. I kept thinking that was a little fat woman with a red coat was just appearing everywhere. But you know you're hallucinating, so it doesn't freak you out. You just, it's quite funny.
Is,
but especially in the canal race, I had loads of them.
Is that actually a hallucination, or just because you're tired, you think you see something? Because I've had that.
No,
where
it's
you're
it's
running
weird.
Along and
no,
you think,
it's weird.
Oh,
it's
that?
No, it's different. You know you're hallucinating.
I think this year, I definitely have had more kind of out of body where I felt detached from myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's getting close to what you get.
No, it's I start seeing things, like,
yeah,
especially
yeah.
in the canal race, which is fine because I was still running well in that race. But
a horrible race to think you're seeing things.
Yeah,
it's so
just
dark.
And it was like everything was so colourful on the barges that they all made. I kept thinking there was crowds of people, and I kept thinking the next it must be the next person's support crew. And I was like, it really wasn't. But yeah, magic.
Okay, Alan Stewart, I think he's desperate to, he says, please tell us that you and Debbie struggle to put your running shoes on some days and go out to run sometimes, the same as the rest of us.
Yeah.
See, they see you as...
no,
oh,
yeah.
Shouldn't.
Sometimes, like, I'm going out to do rep sessions at lunchtime and you're just sitting there and it's like 10 to 12. And but you know as soon as you're out the door,
I think
you're fine.
Yeah, I think when things are going well, it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're struggling and... You know, the last race was hard and things, and then things are hard. But when you've
yeah.
had a good race and stuff, it's so easy.
Yeah.
If anything, you go out too quickly.
I remember the year that you were struggling a bit with injury. I remember you saying to me that you almost got out of the habit of running.
Yeah.
And it was
and
quite hard to get
back
in.
It was hard
in.
To get
back
yeah. in. And I think if you get into consistent going out every day, it gets easier, I think. You
it's
know
just
you
part
have to
of your
run.
Day,
it's
isn't
just
it?
Part
yeah.
of your day.
Yeah.
It's that one part you unwind and...
Yeah, I do say, like, when you've asked if, you know, people think it's talent and and I've always said it's hard work, and I'll sometimes say, like, I sometimes lack motivation, but I never lack commitment.
Yeah.
So I'm always committed to the end goal. So sometimes I might not want to go out, but I don't think in the last few years there's a time where I thought, you know what, I can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I would chastise myself
mm-hmm.
too much.
Yeah.
I think definitely both of us, there's been times that you'll come in and maybe we've got to go out to run and you maybe should go out and it's 9 o'clock and it gets to 10 o'clock and you still haven't gone out and you're like, oh, maybe I'll... You eventually do go out, but by the time you've gone out, you could have done the run. So sometimes we've done that before. You keep on faff,
yeah.
you know, and you say, oh now I'll have my lunch now, I'll have another coffee. And you're like, just go for your run,
yeah.
you know, but yeah, and sometimes we'll do that. Rather,
yeah.
I think having the other person there something helps.
Me, coming out the door.
Yeah, go out, you're not getting any.
Okay, this is a slightly different question. Running Gannett, he wants a bit of advice.
Ah.
I'm thinking of buying for the garage either a treadmill or a rowing machine.
Is he going to hang his clothes on it?
If I continue doing all my running outside, do you think a rower would be more worthwhile for overall fitness, core, etc.? So
funnily enough, I'm just reading that book, the new one that's out, the updated Ultra Running Training. Or
that's
training
my Bible.
Culture. Yeah. It's kind of like the old school Don Ritchie
it's
style
that's
of
it.
Training, which was there was a booklet written
by the Roadrunners Association,
1991
or something. It is
so
my
it's been
Bible.
Updated, so
it's
all like
brilliant.
The old school runners who used to run like 160 mile, 24 hour races and stuff.
They used
and
to
there's
run
a couple in that
a week.
That, have a rowing machine and they swear by that for cross training because for the upper body strength to sort of pull you along and for core strength. So
yeah, it's
Alan wrote
yeah.
that, wasn't it? If Alan has done all his training outside, I mean, I'd never run a treadmill, but I think if you do all your running outside, then definitely a rower.
Yeah.
I would, after reading that, I know what to buy a rowing machine.
Well, we've already got
the
all
treadmill, the stepper, the leg weights that are still on the ball.
You got a treadmill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought a treadmill when I just had care. What do you mean it's rubbish?
This is too small. It's not it's long
fine.
Enough for my stride, so I can keep feeling my foot coming off the end of it.
I bought one after I had care on the assumption that we might not get to train the same, and I think I used it about 5 times.
Mm.
So it was in the garage.
Okay, so you recommend a rowing machine to
if I was to
yeah.
do it, I would never run a treadmill, so I think a rowing machine.
Okay. David Martin asks about speed sessions, which we've answered a bit, but he says, if so, how many would they put in a week, and what would an average session consist of?
Oh, two?
This is a strange one because up until last year I would have done two. I'd have done two long speed sessions plus long runs at the weekend, and I've tended this year to drop it slightly. When I'm doing high mileage weekends, I only do the one during the week, and then when the high mileage becomes more of a taper or you get used to it, then I incorporate two. So when I'm increasing one of them, I don't push both, and it's worked that year, this year for me. I've done less speed. I still think speed's a good thing, and I feel that...
But you still... See, we're different, whereas I would do two speed sessions during the week. My long run, my long slow runs are long slow runs,
yeah,
whereas yours,
fast.
Your long runs are... There's never a time when you've come in the door and not told me what pace you run.
Yeah. No, but I do a lot
of
faster.
Or upload it to Strava just to make sure you're beating everyone else who might have done that run. So,
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, probably different, but I do my long runs at the weekend just as...
But if I was doing a West Ham Way run, I don't go out and hammer it, because that's another thing that's going to hurt you, if you know what I mean, because it's already tough being off-road.
Yeah, you still tell me what pace you've done and what splits you've done and what time.
Only if
I
want to beat Thomas.
Okay, let's keep moving. Stephen Hill, if you could run any race in the world, what one would it be? I suppose you said UTMB and you
mm-hmm.
said probably something in the States. Oh,
yeah,
UTMB?
Something. Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Susan Harley, do you believe you are naturally gifted or is it all down to sheer hard work?
Hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work. I think Marco's more naturally gifted.
Really?
Well, you've got to be gifted at something.
Oof. He's a married guy, is it? Okay, Keith Hughes. Two GB athletes in the same house, both with the same focus and goals. What's the secret when there can be no compromise and neither of you would expect or want the other person to?
What?
It just stops there and they says, brackets, and if that's too serious, who cooks the best and what is each of your signature dishes?
Chicken and broccoli is mine.
Yeah. No, I think he's saying basically if you got the same thing with, and there's no compromise, neither you would expect the other person to compromise for you. No?
No, we just got to work around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just got to work around it.
Okay. And the final question, Karen Donoghue, what is each other's worst habit and be honest?
He grinds his teeth.
He grinds his teeth?
I do.
And he interrupts you when you're talking.
Well, yeah, I've just kind of got this tonight.
What?
Gosh.
I was only filling in.
What's my worst habit? Choose carefully.
Which one?
Which one?
Silence from
silence.
The other end.
That means I don't have any.
Really?
I'm perfect.
That's right.
Well done. I'm so glad we finally got this.
What?
Well, I just want to say thank you very much.
No, thank you.
It's been
thank
a long
you.
Day for you, I know, because you've been up early, run a marathon.
That's just me, by the way.
Driven down.
I had to support her.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
Kieran's a nightmare. He just runs away. I've ran a marathon after him.
But anyway, really appreciate it. I just want to say again, congratulations this year. You've both
thank
had
you
very
much.
Phenomenal years. And I think as a West Island Way family, we've loved following your progress and being part of it. So thank you very much. And we look forward to more and more in the coming years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now we have to go and rescue Katrina from my
yes,
son.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, we all alphabeted out her number. Right.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Sure, you'll agree with me that was a great interview with Marco and Debs. They've had an exceptional year and it was really interesting just to get their perspective, both as the runner and also as supporting each other. There will be more podcasts to come and there'll be a variety of interviews. I'm hoping to interview John Vernon in the next one next month. John completed his 10th West Highland Way race in the 2013 race. So it'll be great to get a feel of how John has done, not just in the West Highland Way race, but in a number of races that he's been involved in over that time. So that's the next one. And then I'm hoping as well to get Paul Giblin back in December and just to chat to Paul about his record-breaking run from this year. So that's the plan for the next couple of months. And then from January onwards, I'll try and make them a bit more frequent, maybe weekly or bi-weekly, bi-monthly, to be able to catch up on different people and stories and various training. So if there are any other things that you'd like me to include, then please get in touch and then we can add those on. Say the entries will be open in November, and I know a number of people are looking forward to getting their entries in. Remember, you have the whole of November, so it's not first come, first serve. The idea is that we have a month to get entries in, and then at the end of the month we'll look at how many we've got, and then we'll decide whether we need to do a ballot or not. But all the details will be coming up on the westharlemwayrace.org website. So hope you've enjoyed this episode, and once again we're going to finish with a quote from Wombat Fitness on Facebook, and this one is from Ray Mears. Quote of the day: I've always believed that the journey is more important than the destination.